to the second hour. You are joining We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Pretty straightforward.
There you go.
It's got all the good information about our guest, sponsorship, got our phone numbers and email addresses if you have ideas for guests or topics. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep. And we'd like to thank our sponsor, Powerhouse Solar, for sponsoring the program today. Go down and see Bruce and Sue at 4616 Calipeter Road, and they can be reached at 530-275-5600, and they can do just about anything solar that you might have on your mind, and they're very professional, and they'll show you how to get it done.
They've been after it for a long time.
Yep, a long time. 2003, as a matter of fact. That's long time.
That is a long time. Yeah. It's a long time to do anything. We seem to not... the radio has good longevity, but, you know, career-wise, we seem to be switching around, so it's a long time.
We're working on it. Yeah, we like to spread ourselves out.
Exactly. Yeah. We like to have lots of irons in the fire. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
It's always nice to know who you're talking to out there. But our guest today, we've got to scurry back to this, because I just added some extra stuff. I got a new email from Jim that gave some web addresses. Our guest today, James Foley, he is a member of the New 49ers Prospecting Association based in Happy Camp, California. Mostly Happy Camp seems to be, I guess, famous for their fires of late, which is just another bit of natural resource ridiculousness we're dealing with. But he's a spokesperson for the association and on staff for their internal affairs department. Most miners will be familiar with the organization because they've been at the forefront of all the political and legal mining issues for many, many years. Their web address is, it's an easy one, too. It's goldgold.com. So I guess, you know, oh.
I was afraid of that.
That would be,
we'll have to get him back on the line.
That would be Jim getting disconnected. Okay, that's cool, because then I can actually tell people some more about him. It's always weird to read about the person when they're on the phone. I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird. It's like they're right there. Why don't you just let them talk? But he's not there, so we're going to read about him. So let's see. Jim's involvement in political mining issues began innocently enough when, in the state of Alaska, they decided to adopt an EPA restriction that was restricting the permits for suction dredge mining in 1998. Once he became aware that, and whatever NPDES permitting, so I'm assuming it was a restrictive permit, was actually designed for municipal wastewater facilities, it became obvious that suction dredges could not be classed under that designation. It was then determined, he determined to attend the public comment on the issue and open the comment period with this revelation, actually. Since that time, he's retired and relocated to Northern California. As I said, he lives up there in Hamburg, in Siskiyou County on the Klamath River. Upon his arrival in the Pacific Northwest, he was astounded and dismayed to find that suction dredge mining, as well as other rights and issues such as dams and the hydroelectric power we get from them, logging, ranching, grazing, and farming, were all under full-scale attack by our favorite friends, the environmentalists, as well as some tribal interests. They had begun a campaign to wipe out all uses of our natural resources. Washington, Oregon, and California were on the front lines of the attack. So that's when he really started learning about law, ethics, environmentalism, tribal activism, and economics. The self-education served him well, and he's been able to testify and comment not only for miners, but also for other natural resource users as well. He's been asked to speak for and provide vital information to entities such as Oregon Cattlemen's Association and Granges in three states, county government in both California and Nevada, and state and federal legislators.
Busy man.
So he's a busy bee. That's why when I asked him to come on, he was like, I don't have time.
Well, you saw him speak at a recent mining meeting that kind of
it was with the California it was with the California Water Board, and so I got a phone call from Kelly down there in Red Bluff, who said, "Hey, are you guys going to be there?" And typically we don't, you know, always track all the state meetings, but it was about mining, so that intersects with the, you know, federal and everything else. So, you know, in attending that and listening 4 hours of public comment, so these people just sat there really and listened. You know, the people from the water board, but none of them were actually on the water board. So they weren't going to make any decisions. It was just staff, which is what we see all the time. So here, all of these people's livelihood, a lot of these people are retired. And so they supplement their income by mining. Or it's a hobby that now they can do full time because they're retired. And some people are young, and that is what they do for a living. So they're constantly being squeezed out by the government. Did we find Jim again?
For whatever reason, I'm not sure that he is aware that he's been disconnected. Every time I try to call that number, I'm getting a recording that says the number's not reachable, which makes me think he's still on the line.
Oh, well.
Do we have another number for him?
No, maybe you could just do obsessive redial.
Okay, do you want to keep talking or you want to take a break?
Well, I don't know. I guess we could take a break early. That'd be fun.
And I'll
well,
keep
you know,
to...
we were talking about Mercury earlier, and
oh, Bill's going to keep talking.
We've got someone in our chat room that's a suction dredge miner, and he is working a claim now, not suction dredge, but another process. And I asked him, you know, how much mercury has he collected or does he have, and he said he has about 8 pounds of mercury that he's using for other projects. But so you think about that, 8 pounds of mercury, that is a stockpile of mercury.
Sure, removed from public waterway.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you look at how much comes out of a little thermometer, you know, you think, man, that's a lot of mercury, but 8 pounds?
And the part of it that's so frustrating is that the narrative says they're putting mercury in the streams.
Exactly.
Which is exactly the opposite.
Yeah, now, how would they feel if he went back out to where he found it and dumped it back in the water? I mean, you'd never
see him again.
You'd have
Guantanamo Bay.
Oh yeah, you'd have a toxic cleanup site. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me that they don't take that into consideration. Because I mean, that's just one guy, and you know, one example. Think of what do you say? There was 3,000 suction permits that were issued, and I mean,
yeah,
they
in the
all
state.
In the state.
Think about how many waterways there are in the state, though.
Oh, yeah.
And you think about how many dredgers, and people are not out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean,
no.
It's not even possible.
If you spend any time in the outdoors, I mean, you know where, like in our neck of the woods, you can go up on the Trinity, or you used to be able to go up on the Trinity River and see them out there in their little suction floats, but you haven't seen that for a long time. But that's just one river. Most places you travel, you don't see them because nobody's there. I mean,
well, the crazy part is, too, like up on the Trinity, they're dumping in all sorts of gravel for the fish. Well, this does that.
Yeah.
I mean, this pulls all the small gravel to the top and puts it back over all the large rock. So, I don't know. It's like all the regulations we talk about. I'm sorry. You know, we've always... we try to be more fun.
Yeah.
Today's not a really fun topic. It's frustrating.
You try to make sense of it, but really when you dig down into it, it really makes no sense. And what's frustrating is a couple of knuckleheads like us can figure it out. Why can't the state, with their experts and their scientists and all their knowledgeable folks that they pay huge salaries to, they can't figure it out?
Because it's not public land anymore. They see it as federal land. It's interesting, and the state is just almost kind of a partner in that. It's not for us. We're supposed to pay for it and pay for them to manage it but not use it. And that's, of course, not everyone. We're generalizing. I don't know. I guess we could get some hate mail. I guess you could send us hate mail. Go ahead.
I don't mind hate mail.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
I wanted to let folks know, too, that Jim has a message board, but the address is kind of long and complicated, so go online and take a look at that. But you have a lot of ways to communicate with him and find out what's happening. I also listed for you the General Mining Act of 1872, so you have a little FYI there, and that Senate Bill 637 in 2015 that banned the suction dredging. But let's see, Record Searchlight did the Reading paper.
Doesn't their group have a meeting coming up that...
Thursday. No, it's a different group, but still, it's mining.
It's mining. Yeah, if you want to learn more about it,
I don't know how much you'll learn, but I don't know what they do at their meeting. It's the first one I've ever gone to.
Oh,
it's Thursday. It's at the Grange Hall, right across from Kent's Meats, Airport Road.
Yeah, go there if you want to maybe meet some folks that are in the business and hear some more tales of woe and maybe see what you can do to help out the cause.
Bob, it is officially now 1:15.
Okay, when we had him on the line originally, he called us. Is that correct?
I don't know, but I've got his phone number, so
Well, I mean, I have his phone number, and I keep trying to dial it, and it keeps telling me it's unreachable. But I'm thinking back to before the show started. Didn't you have him on the line?
No, I had another guy on the line. Phone was ringing off the hook.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a really quick break.
Let's blame it on the NSA. I think they didn't like what was going on here. They probably stormed his house and have got him on the floor in cuffs because, you know, that's what they do.
They're holding him hostage.
Yeah. On the floor!
Until he confesses. Suction dredging puts mercury in the river.
Hands behind your head!
And Jim's going, it's a lie, it's a lie.
Or perhaps his phone died.
Because it is a lie. Oh, yeah, we also have batteries. Gee whiz, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back and we'll let you know what happened.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted. You can 6 long months on a dust covered trail. They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. Shifting from 5 to 5, selling everything we found just to stay alive. Go float free like the whiskey in the bar. Sin was the big thing, Lord, and sin was star. And there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, golden in hills, and it's waiting for me.
Okay, guess who? No, mining don't grow on trees. We're trying to pick off another one.
That's just kind of funny.
They're gun shy.
Like, calling all miners, calling all miners.
they're out feeding their mules.
It was funny because one of the friends of Jim who phoned before the program started, and I just called him. I said, hey, we can't get back to Jim. Why don't you give us a call, and maybe you could tell us some of your experience, because I don't know him at all. And he says, well, what are you guys talking about? I said, well, you know, suction dredging and, you know, the fact that it doesn't put mercury in the river and it doesn't hurt the fish. And he goes, well, all the miners already know that. I was like, I mean, I know that, but the problem is the public doesn't know that. Like, why would I tell miners something they already know? Okay, I get that seems weird, but...
How about the rest of us poor schlubs?
But the rest of us poor dummies, I know because I've, you know, been schooled on this before. And for those of you that are wondering where our perennial guest, Horse Creek Mike, would be, because he was always the one who called in about mining.
Oh, man, he knew all about it.
He schooled me more than once on what was happening with mining, but he has since passed away, so... Unfortunately, we lost our on-site mining assistant.
Resident expert.
I know. He was always our resident expert. He gave us a lot of good information. So, you know, hey, throw the door open if you're a miner. And while we're waiting to find out what happened.
And by that, we don't mean if you're under 18.
That's an excellent point, Bob. I was like, what is he talking about? Yes. Yeah, ER, miner. If you're a miner, give us a holler. We'd like to hear what your experience has been.
Yeah. Because they are definitely under siege and outnumbered and outgunned.
I guess we should give them their phone number, 530-605-4567.
Yeah, there you go.
And we don't do a huge amount of call-ins because typically we have somebody on who's kind of going to educate. Except we seem to have fumbled the ball and lost this one midstream. No pun intended.
I think his phone died.
That's entirely possible.
Because it disconnected on the air, and I keep calling back, and it says the number's not reachable at this time.
Jim has been slurped up somewhere. Well, at the end of the day, this becomes one of those issues that just, I mean, the houndsman are a perfect example.
Oh, they got, yeah, that's a great example.
You don't go after the bird hunters because there's tons of them. You go after the guys who use hounds in hunting because it sounds mean and scary and bad.
Yeah, it hurts the dogs.
Yeah, it hurts the dogs, which of course it doesn't. And, you know, so now we have too many bears and too many bobcats and the government hunters are having to take care of all of it, which of course costs taxpayers more money.
Right.
Just like taking mercury
all those dogs are out of a job now. They're very sad.
Well, the dogs like it. And so
yeah,
they're not working,
they freak out. Did you ever
know
a dog that didn't like to chase things? I mean, come on.
Usually it stopped chasing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, unfortunately, a lot of people had to sell their dogs or move to another place
because
those dogs can't just sit
around. And it's a typical story, too, because they go after the small groups that in most circumstances have not really band together and organized. And they go after and they pick off all the little groups before, like, you know, if all the miners and loggers and all the resource people all got together, it'd be a huge lobby and they wouldn't stand a chance. But they go after them one at a time, separate them out of the herd, kill them off, and then go after the next one.
And the other people, it's funny, the other folks in other, you know, that enjoy other resource uses, they go, oh, good thing they didn't come after us.
Well, we're doing a good job. They won't come after us.
They won't. Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them to come after us. We have good science on our side.
Or we've already made a deal with them, and so.
Oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
What's happening
working
now?
Working on it.
Now the phones are ringing off the hook.
It's the same guy. He called on the business line. So he's calling back on the on-air line.
They give him the wrong number.
It's another Jim.
Oh, Jim.
It's another Jim.
Yep. Jim the miner.
Interesting. Well, go figure. So,
okay, Jim. Yeah, great.
Oh, here we go. Bob's putting him on right now. Shh.
Okay, don't lose
him. He's on there now.
Don't lose him.
Jim Eyerby. Well, let's see if I do one more thing. Now, Jim Eyerby is joining us.
Nice. Where are you, Jimmy?
I'm sitting right here listening.
Okay. I'm sitting here talking.
Oh, no. We're going to have miner jokes.
Yeah. I have been a small-scale suction miner since 1967 when I graduated from high school. Have stayed active in it on and off ever since. I'm a lifetime member of the new 49ers, and I'm also part of one of the officers of the club. You've asked if somebody wants to tell their story. I retired in 2000 as a Teamster truck driver and have attempted to supplement my retirement income through suction dredging, which I love very much. I've been an activist in this fight. I think I'm pretty knowledgeable on what's been going on. The state of California, in my opinion, this is another ploy for them to go after revenue in order to help pay for the state of California.
Okay? Yeah.
When it comes to the environmentalists, it's a power struggle, and it's also gone into the lawmaking process of the state of California. We have proven in court on numerous times, backed up and based by science, that suction dredging does not harm the environment, the aquatic life, the fish, but they are determined, they have an agenda that they're going to shut us down. Okay. Within the industry, I think I could safely say that we have spent well over $1.5 million within the industry fighting the state of California. Now it's going to the United States Supreme Court if they accept our petition to be heard. I think it's a travesty. I think it's absolutely wrong. And to me, it's just a crime that the state of California can try to supersede federal law, federal regulations, and get away with it.
Well, and steal your private property rights to boot.
Well, yeah.
Well, you still get to pay the property taxes.
Yeah, we do. We pay taxes on mining claims.
Sure. So
we can't use it. We can't use the claim. Suction dredging is the most practical and economic way in order to recover placer gold in the streams and the rivers. They are determined. How dare you take on the state of California, in my opinion, and they're going to try to fight us all the way to the end. But what they don't realize is we are prepared to take it all the way.
And that's good. I mean, do you find that the mining community, they're tight within their groups, but as a whole, is there a lot of communication?
There's a tremendous amount of communication.
Good.
The mining community, the people that are suction dredge miners are almost a dying breed in our society today. They believe in total freedom. Okay. I haven't really, in my opinion, seen total freedom in this country for a long time.
Yeah.
Our country was based on amendments, on a constitution. We've gotten away from that due to politics and partisan politics. And I think it's a crying shame. I'll be 68 years old here pretty soon. I want to be able to run my suction dredge, recover gold, as Congress gave us the right, 1866 and 1872 through the Mining Act.
And
to pursue my passion in order to supplement my income.
Sure, I bet you'd
being
like to go to fewer public meetings.
Being retired on Social Security and a pension I have through the Teamsters is barely minimal.
Mm.
I depended on trying to supplement it through mining, small-scale mining. Can't do it. I'm very angry and very upset over it. And if I have to take my last breath fighting this fight, along with the rest of the people within the industry, we're going to do it. State of California doesn't seem to realize how determined and how dedicated we are to this. It's absolutely wrong what they've done. Now, Oregon's followed suit. Washington is going to attempt to try to follow suit. Idaho has tried to follow suit. And then eventually probably go all the way up into Alaska.
God, can you imagine?
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I'm sure that would affect a huge number of people.
But I sure wish that Jim Foley could get back a hold of him, because he is very, very knowledgeable on the water board. He was there.
Right. I wanted him to give his water quality, what he told us on water quality at that meeting, because it was fantastic. So we're guessing maybe his phone died, but we'll keep trying to...
The man is very knowledgeable. He's a very adequate speaker. He speaks from his heart. I've known him since 2005. I have mined with him, knocked around with him, being in the new 49ers. He believes in fighting for rights for everybody.
Yeah.
And once he got involved in this, he has done a lot of fighting at his own expense, traveling. But it seems to fall on deaf ears. You know, it's like standing up before the legislature and saying, "You can't hear me, so read my lips," type of attitude.
Yeah. No, were you at the meeting in Redding a couple of weeks ago?
No, I live in Redmond, Oregon now.
Okay.
Lived in Medford, Oregon for about 17 years, but we've downsized and relocated up here in Siberia. I mean, very cold up here. Lots of snow. But I'm going to travel to Happy Camp in the spring.
Oh, good.
And in the summer for club projects that we put on every year. We usually have about five of them. Very well organized, and we teach people on how to recover gold, how to pan for it, the history, how it's deposited, and we have some very large outings.
Nice. Well, Bill and I will have to pay attention and come up.
Yeah, I'd like to go check that out and learn a little bit there.
Well, on Saturdays during those outings, we have what's called a potluck dinner. There at Happy Camp at one of the halls. And I'm sure that you could come as a guest and learn what we do, see what we do.
Nice.
You're very welcome.
I'll keep in touch with Jim. That's part of the area I cover, so I'm up there a lot.
Well, Jim's about halfway between Right. Interstate 5 and Happy Camp there at Hamburg.
At Hamburg, yeah.
Yeah. A beautiful area.
So that better
seen,
before the
never
fire.
Never seen Bigfoot, but I've heard some things out in the woods a few times that has got my attention until I identified what it was. A lot of good people that have a lot of the same interests. Lifetime memberships are made that last for lifetimes. It's just a great organization. I was kind of a lone wolf miner back in 67 when I started. I was just a kid, 18 years old, you know, trying to learn. And when I found the new 49ers, it was like, man, I've died and gone to heaven. This is great.
We've seen the mining fever. We took my brother-in-law to, you know, showed him how to gold pan just here up on Whiskey Creek, and he found like this little tiny flake of gold. His eyes were as big as saucers. He's like, "That's it. We got to sell the house. We need to move up here. I need to find out how to do more of this." He completely
lost his mind. When I first got introduced to it was 1967. It was the hippie generation.
Oh, there you go.
And Shirttail Canyon, right out of Forest Hill, California. A lot of the hippies were down there trying to create communes. And I was 18 years old, and me and my buddies were interested in chasing hippie girls. Well, we never caught what we were after, but we all caught a case of gold fever.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say a case of something else, but that's
that was probably
story.
Much better. We've got to take a really quick break.
The hippie wedding down there, it was quite an experience.
I can only imagine. Never mind. Let's take a quick break so we can all imagine that. And
I'm sure they took care of it with penicillin.
Exactly. We did a show on the Black Bear Commune up there in Siskiyou County. We learned quite a bit during that program. I should post a link of that. That was a fun show.
Okay, go ahead and take a break.
We'll do that.
I guess that's pretty much what I have to say.
Well, thanks for calling in. We do appreciate it.
Hang with us, and we'll chat some more. We'll be back in 2 minutes. That's about the little theme song to everything. If you're doing it and it's fun, and God forbid you profit from it, we'll be shutting that down here.
We are going to look into you because we need to get a piece of that action or shut it off.
Exactly. We have huge flooding, but at the end of the day, we're still having a drought.
That's
so
right.
Don't use any of that water.
Right.
Yeesh. Really frustrating. So thanks, Jim, for your call before. He hung up during the break. We didn't get to... We didn't get to say bye to him, so bye to him. And now we have Jeremy on the line, who currently lives in Wisconsin, but used to live in California.
And got regulated to death. Jeremy, are you with us?
I am.
Hey, well, tell us your story. What part of California did you operate from?
I work in the Nevada County area.
Okay.
I'm near Evergreen Gap.
Okay.
I don't want to be a whole lot more specific.
You're a miner, I understand. And old claim jumpers will get you.
It's all about the mystery. Yeah, and claim jumping is alive and well.
Very much so,
yeah,
absolutely.
Some things never go away. So how long had you operated in California?
I've been mining in California off and on for about 20 years.
Okay.
So then they put the ban on.
Yep, that hurt real bad. I used to have a real big dredge, spent like $20,000 on it. So heavily invested.
Now that was a big suction dredge that floats out in the water?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. It was a 6-inch intake, and it had 22 horsepower, so it's fairly good size. It's beyond what you would probably consider recreational, but it's functional and has the same recovery values, the same efficiency, the same environmental aspects, no real damage, just temporarily moving the dirt, I guess you could say.
Right.
And you can't afford to have a $20,000 piece of equipment on a piece of property you pay property taxes that you can't, and you can't do anything.
Right. I mean, the motors alone, if they're not used, technically fall into just lack of usage will make them break.
Oh, sure, sure.
So
just like anything else.
You allow your equipment to
sit.
Lose its value and lose its function just by sitting there hoping for the sun to finally shine on you, I guess.
Right. Now, do you still have an active claim there?
I do.
Okay. But are you still working it?
I do. Absolutely. So what I did is in about 2013, I got really tired of waiting for all these hopes to finally come true, and I got into trommeling. Which is similar to high banking. I don't know if you're familiar with any of that.
No, we're not. What is that?
Actually, I am.
So a high banker is technically a similar process to dredging, except for there is no suction. There is no vacuum involved.
Mm-hmm.
You use the same motor with the same amount of water pumped on average. And what you do is you set this little sluice box up on the shore, and it has basically a plastic box on top that you would either shovel or dump buckets of dirt into. It's a pretty slow process compared to a dredge, much slower, but it does the same process. You pump water from the stream to this high banking mechanism. You stand there, you dump your bucket in, the water that is being pumped washes your dirt, your material falls out, the gold stays, the water goes back to the river. Same thing as a dredge.
Now, can you still do that? Because it's my understanding they don't allow any motors.
Absolutely correct. It was fine all the way up until January 1st of 2016.
Okay.
So even after the dredge ban was in place, you were still allowed to high bank everywhere it was allowed until January 1st of last year.
Okay. And so
then they revised the ban and included all forms of motorized or mechanized gold recovery.
So
that's high banking, that's trommels, that's dredges still. And there's questions in the air about it as well because it's not very refined. I mean, there's men who just use little motors with an air compressor and they dive in the rivers looking for gold and mercury. I mean, they specifically look for the mercury too because the gold and the mercury are usually one. They bond.
Sure.
So those little gas-powered air compressors, which truly are doing nothing but providing air to a diver, technically are motorized or mechanized gold recovery methods. So,
but is that allowed?
Well, some say yes, some say no. But all motors are prohibited without permit. But permits are not being issued. I submitted a plan of operation last year, 2015, to work with my high banker, 2016, to work with my high banker, which is above waterline, no dredging. You fill a bucket with a shovel. You dump this bucket of dirt through the high banker. It washes it. You're on shore. You're away from the river. I had to file a plan of operation just to run this little water pump to work with a shovel on my claim, which I have to do paperwork to. I have to do assessment work to every year, and I can't even run a shovel up there through. And they said, well, you can use a sluice box. Well, I don't have current grade enough to just run a sluice box
right on
its own, so I technically need the water pump. I do have water. There's no fish where I am, by the way. There's no frogs. There's no ground-dwelling owls or spotted anything. I filed my plan of operation, and the water board went up, did an on-site inspection. They sent me their analysis. I have pictures so that I know that they were in the right spot when they were doing their analysis because their pictures were dead on. Their report said that I will not be creating any significant water disturbance. My management practices regarding silt and turbidity were managed well enough in my plan that they did not feel that I was a threat. So they said, I do not require permitting from the water board. Best left to the state forest best management practice policy. But now, I'm getting the runaround a year plus later saying, well, the archaeologist hasn't finished his report. And I was just wondering what Indian culture they think they're going to find under a riverbed. So I have a dry riverbed. It's dry. Next to an active one.
Where there are no fish.
Well, absolutely not. It's been dry for probably 60 years. The river has moved. So I plan to work in the dry area, pump water over, work in this dry bed, let my water and my rocks fall right back into my dry bed. That water would then percolate back through the old riverbed.
Sure.
Back downstream, thus filtering it as it goes, as groundwater does, filters as it travels through ground. So it's all good in every way, but the Forest Service now says that I can't be up there for more than 14 days at a time without a permit. I can't camp on my claim for more than 14 days, which that's also covered in the 1872 mining law. I can camp there as long as I want, as long as I don't build a permanent structure.
And you, under the claim process, don't you have to show some sort of improvement every year to maintain that that claim?
Every year you have to do $100 worth of assessment.
Right. So
whether that's cleaning trails or picking up careless people's garbage or
so they want you to maintain
an old abandoned campsite. I mean, whatever. You just got to, or just up there even working to look for gold is part of your is actually the biggest probably part of your assessment work.
Sure.
And tell me this: is this in California or is this in Wisconsin?
No, this is all in California.
All in California.
So,
okay.
are you currently able to do anything on that claim?
Funny thing is I talked to a gentleman at the Forest Service about 2 weeks ago regarding my plan of operation, and he says, "Yeah, it's probably not gonna. We're not gonna have anything for you until probably fall. By the time the archaeologist finishes his review,
great timing.
The paperwork." So then I said, "Yeah, that's great. That's 18 months later. Fantastic." He said, "Well, you can still come and run a sluice box. I can probably get you paperwork on that." And then I said, "David, I don't need paperwork on that. It's not illegal to run a sluice box."
Right.
Yeah.
But why would I want to drive 2,000 plus miles from my home, where my wife and daughter live, to go to a mining claim that I own? If you don't want me there for more than 14 days at a time without a permit, when I already own the place and pay on it every year, and then your best answer for me is I can run a sluice box, I could buy a bag of dirt off of eBay and probably get as much gold as you would running a sluice box.
Why
would I want to spend all that gas money to drive a return 20-something 100 miles? I got 5,000 miles in 2 weeks into 10 buckets of dirt. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hang on, Jeremy. We have to take one more quick break here before the top of the hour. We'll let people's blood pressure go back down just a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sorry about that. I'm shaky.
No, it's okay.
No, mine goes up fairly regularly when we talk about this government overreach. It's just so ridiculous.
It's just...
It's cost me tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
It's no joke. I'm not recreational.
Right.
It's cost me tens of thousands.
So people can't make a living, and that's not what all this stuff was for. So we will come right back and finish our discussion on mining here.
Yeah, so hang on, Jeremy. We'll get back to you in 2 minutes.
You are listening to We the People. You can find extra information about this and the water board and all that at wethepeopleradio.us.
Hear your say lights taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
Come love, baby.
That's my baby, lost that soul. Hopes I'm begging you, save a little
soul.
Come love, baby. Come
said they're splitting it all down the middle, but she got the better half. Well, it all sounds mighty funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft.
We had to get that one in there. A
little jury read there.
Oh my gosh. So I would encourage people, especially people who don't know about this issue or don't have familiarity with this type of mining, go to wethepeopleradio.us. If you scroll down to the Pacific Legal Foundation case, there is a video there. It's 2 minutes and 14 seconds, and it shows you the suction dredge, and it does a little interview with a miner, but it shows you what the thing looks like and how it operates. So if you're having trouble, since we've been a little chaotic today and haven't necessarily painted the best word picture of how this works, it's a little bit like a vacuum cleaner in the river. But go look at it, and you'll see how non-invasive this whole process really is. And I will post more information when I get it from Jim Foley, so check back later on in the week in case he doesn't get home today because he was abducted by aliens. Oh, no, wait, that's the unofficial story.
Yes.
Back to Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy, we were talking about your claim here in California and how you've gone from suction dredging to high banking to basically...
Staying in Wisconsin.
Staying in Wisconsin now. Can you give us, I don't know if you want to tell me this or not, but when you were suction dredging, you said you had a fairly large dredge, 6-inch yeah. intake. Can you tell us what would be... like a typical or ballpark income you could derive from a rig like that versus high banking versus sluicing to kind of give us an idea of how much money you're actually losing.
I think I see what you're saying. So when I used to run that dredge, I mean, it would cost me probably $20 a day just to run it, just to be there and run it. But at the same time, I could recover hundreds of dollars a day on a good day in a good spot, maybe $1,000. I mean, obviously, depending upon the market,
sure,
as that
sure.
fluctuates, the gold value as it is. But, I mean, a guy in a right spot with the right machine could easily make...
So $500 to $1,000 a day,
week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. And so then when they basically booted you out of the suction business and put you to high banking, what
right.
did that reduce it to?
Well, now I got to shovel buckets all day long, right? That's why I wake up, and I will fill 50 5-gallon buckets of dirt. Now, you got to break that dirt up by hand. There's no water involved with that. It's all dry stuff.
Right.
So it's pickaxes and shovels, and you break it up, and you prepare your material. You get all those buckets over by your little machine. Hopefully, you can get your machine close enough to you, and then you spend the rest of your day trying to run all those
Feed
buckets
it all.
Through.
Right.
You get soaking wet even though you're standing out in the dry because all the splashback, it's super slow process, ineffectual, and now at that point you've made a ground disturbance because all your tailings are just resting about on the surface.
Sure.
So but now you got to work back into the hole that you've made so that you refill your work area.
Right.
Which makes sense, but then once you've done that, now it's almost impossible to continue working in that area.
Mm-hmm. So you're moving.
The area is now saturated, and you created a mess on top of where you intended to work.
So needless to say, that is very labor-intensive. And
it's more recreational level, absolutely. It's a weekend thing.
And if you did a good job and you had a good spot, what do you look at as far as income on that process?
Oh, maybe $500 a week. Maybe
yeah.
less if you know, depending upon your ground. Sometimes the ground just comes apart harder and slower, so then you're just losing time trying to break it up. Whereas
right.
when you're in a river, you have water flowing over you, dredging. Stuff kind of comes apart on its own a little bit. There's always hard pack. You've got to have a little pick down there and a pry bar. And don't get me wrong, it ain't easier, but it's easier.
Right.
Yeah. And so there's no benefit for the environment by doing the high banking, but you have the benefit of loosening the stream bed and providing habitat for fish. But the thing that I never understand is in the spot where your claim is, if there are no fish,
right.
who gives a crap about turbidity?
Right.
So there's
Absolutely.
So there's dirt in the water.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And to be honest, I mean, the claims below me, nobody works. Nobody goes out there. I'm probably the only person that's been in those wheat woods or near that creek quite a while. Every once in a while, I'll see where somebody snuck in there with a metal detector and dug a little hole. But other than that, you don't see where people been there a whole lot.
Totally ridiculous.
So what's it going to matter? There's no fish to mine. The people can't mine because they don't know about it. It's a little bit of gravel, and the first time it rains, anytime it rains, within a few minutes, you can watch the water cloud out. Now, that's turbidity from upstream. That's natural.
Right.
And that's 10,000 times the turbidity. I could create an entire year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the light.
Yeah, again, it makes absolutely
no sense, Jeremy. When we hang up, we're off of here in like 5 seconds, but I'm gonna give you a call. I have an idea for you.
Very good.
And thanks, Jeremy, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for pitching in, miners. We'll find Jim Foley and get his information online for you. We'll post the commercial for your archives and how you can weigh in on the California Water Board. See you next week.
Very good.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.